into, I think, if I planned it right, the first couple of weeks of November. It's about 6 weeks of looking at different characters from the Old Testament. And the reason why I'm doing this is that I want us to use these different characters to help us develop the character traits that God wants us to have in our lives as we continue to strive to follow Him, even in the midst of all of the stuff that's going on in our lives. We'll be talking about that a little bit today. I thought the sermon, the title of the sermon or the series, I'm calling God Seeks to Stretch Us to Go Beyond Our Comfort Zone so He Can Grow Our Character. Now, there are two zones that I think we live in. One is one that we all kind of get ourselves into, and certainly I've noticed over the years that the church kind of falls into this too, and that is the comfort zone. We fall into the comfort zone. We get into a place where we're safe, right? We're secure. We know what we can do. We know what we need to do. And we just keep doing the same thing over and over again because it's comfortable. It's safe. And it makes us feel good that we can continue to do that. Well, the problem with the comfort zone is it is a no-growth zone. It's hard to really grow when you're in a comfort zone because you're just kind of stuck there. You're just kind of doing the same thing. You're not learning anything because you're just doing the same thing over and over and over. It's like sitting in your favorite comfy chair on Sunday afternoon watching the football game, right? You get into the zone and you get comfortable. For me, sometimes like I'll go upstairs after church and I'll watch a football game and I'll lay on the bed and watch the football game, and pretty soon I get so comfortable that what do? Right? I fall asleep, right? Because you're so comfortable. And it's a way for us to prevent us from growing and stretching. That's why the other zone that we need to be in is called the character zone. This happens when we stretch ourselves out of the comfort zone. And we give ourselves permission to experience new things and try new things and do new things. It helps us to maybe look at things from a very different perspective. When I was in seminary, my first or second year in seminary, I volunteered at a church in the Bay Area that was the pastor that was kind of a mentor of mine at the time, and he was volunteering as a chaplain. There was a hospital across the road from the church, and he was volunteering his time there. Now, I had a great fear of hospitals. I never spent any time in the hospital overnight, but I had visited people in the hospital, loved ones, grandparents and stuff, and I didn't like the place. I didn't like the hospital. But I knew that I was training to be a pastor that I was going to have to spend some time in hospitals. And so I talked to the pastor, and he said, you know, I can talk to the head of the chaplaincy there, and maybe you can get in and volunteer some time to be a chaplain at the hospital. And I did. And so for a few weeks during the summer break of school, after my first year, I would go to the hospital and I would work on a couple floors in the hospital. Scared me to death. And it wasn't until my last day there that I actually felt like I accomplished something. Because I would go into a hospital room, and in that particular hospital, they assigned you to a couple floors. And that was your assignment. You had to go into each room. It didn't matter if they were Catholic or not. It didn't matter if they were religious or not. They gave you a little badge, and you went in and you tried to talk to them. And I would say probably in the first few weeks I was there, I got kicked out of almost every room that I went into because they didn't want to see a chaplain. And here I was, this young kid, you know, and it was devastating. But what I learned out of that experience is that I had to get out of my comfort zone in order to grow. I had to move myself out of the place where I felt like I could control the environment into a place where I couldn't, in order to grow. And that's what the character zone will do for you. It'll help you to grow into a closer sense of what God wants you to do. But you have to step out in faith. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about Noah, who was a portrait of faith. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, or if you have access to one on your phone or whatever, we're going to be looking at Genesis chapter 6. We're going to be looking at verses 5 through 22, even though I'm not going to read all of the verses, but I will read a few of them. But we want to begin by looking at the life of Noah and how he was a model or a portrait of faith. The first thing that we learn is that Noah had a personal faith. Now, in some translations, the word favor is translated grace, and indeed, grace is unmerited favor. It is getting something we do not deserve. And Noah, well, he benefited from God's grace. It gave him access to a personal faith in God. We read in Romans 5:2, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope and the glory of God. I think it might be helpful at this point that we try to explain the difference between Old Testament and New Testament salvation, this faith that we gain in Christ. Now, there are some who have mistakenly believed that Old Testament believers were saved simply by observing the law of Moses and sacrifices. That's not necessarily true. Old Testament believers were saved in much the same way as the New Testament believers were saved, through a personal faith in the Messiah and his sacrifice for our sins that provides forgiveness, salvation. The Old Testament believers were saved through faith in the promised Messiah who was to come. The New Testament believers are saved through faith in the promised Messiah who has come, Jesus. For New Testament believers, salvation is like a gift certificate. It's already paid for. You just have to accept it and cash it in. Whereas the Old Testament believers, their salvation was like credit. They received it before it was paid for. Old Testament believers were pointed to the cross through what was foretold and foreshadowed. The New Testament believers are pointed to the cross through which what was told in the New Testament and the historical reality of Jesus. Old Testament believers were saved by looking forward to the cross, where New Testament believers are saved by looking back at the cross. Old Testament believers were assured of their salvation by virtue of the promise of the Word of God. The New Testament believers believed the same thing, but they added the presence of God's Holy Spirit. Now we look at Noah. Scripture says Noah was saved by grace through faith, just as we are. Now you can say, if you looked at the history of Noah's the generations before him, you'll see that there were many who were great believers, like Methuselah, Enoch, who were said that they walked with God. They had passed this sense of faith in God down to Noah. And he received it and he lived it out. And as everyone else, we don't benefit from it unless we personally place our faith in God's promise of salvation. If we make that personal decision, we have to be able to make it personal, because it is. Noah had a personal faith in God. Listen to what verse 8 says of Genesis chapter 6. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. In verse 9, it says, this is the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. Which leads us to the second part of this, which is that Noah had a practical faith. It's very practical. You know, we live in a time where we want to be very practical in how we deal with things, right? How we make decisions. And in Noah's case, there were three things that came out of this practical faith. And it brought transformation to his life. What does it mean to be righteous? It means to be right. And God calls us to apply our faith to ourselves and correct what is wrong about us and to learn about what is right. There was a novelist from England who wrote this: sow a wrong thought, reap a wrong action. Sow a wrong action, reap a wrong habit. Sow a wrong habit, reap a wrong character. Sow a wrong character, reap a wrong destiny. Those are some powerful words. But what if we had a personal faith in God that led us to a very practical faith in God? What if we changed that to experiencing some right thinking, something that will help us and direct us in a more positive light? So if that is the case, then we can change that to sow a right thought, reap a right action. Sow a right action, reap a right habit. Sow a right habit, reap a right character. Sow a right character, reap a right destiny. It's very practical, right? It just seems logical that we live our lives that way. Romans 12:2 even tells us, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but what? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I think what's happening in our society today is that we are being conformed by what we see around us. We make decisions based on what other people are saying and doing, instead of relying on being conformed by God. That doesn't mean that you can't stand up for what you believe is right in the midst of all the stuff that's going on. It just means that you know that you take it to a certain point and then let God take over, right? Oftentimes for pastors, you know, we pray, Lord, give us the words to say as we bring the message. And I used to think that was a little strange considering we had already written the sermon. And Sunday morning, we ask that God gives us the words to preach. Before Jen and I got married, she was in California, I was in Indiana, and I had gone to the church one Sunday night, and I was going over my sermon, preaching it to an empty sanctuary. And the words that were coming out of my mouth were not the words that were on the page. The whole sermon was completely different from what I had written, and I was starting to worry. And I remember calling Jen, and I said, Jen, I don't know what. And she said, well, you got to preach that sermon. And so I did. Scared me to death because, again, it took me out of my comfort zone. But I had to rely on God, not on myself. And I think we need to be conformed more by God and not by what society is telling us how to act, how to respond, and what to say. To move from my comfort zone into the character zone, we must be willing to stretch. To be stretched, to be challenged, and to change our way of thinking, our perception, our attitudes, change them into God's truth. But it also brought a separation from the world into Noah's life. If one is not copying the behaviors of this world, well, they stand out, and Noah certainly stood out. And that's what God is calling us to do, is to stand out in the crowd. The New Living Translation says it this way: Noah was the only blameless person living on earth at that time. Boy, there's a lot of pressure there, isn't it? But he stood out in the crowd. He was different. And he was willing to be different. And we need to be able to stand out in the crowd. We need to be willing to stand up for what is right in God's eyes. And when we separate ourselves from the world and we were willing to stand out in the crowd, it brought for Noah, as it should bring for us, a dedication to God. Now, we learn from our scripture this morning, there are two ways in which you can walk with somebody, especially two ways you can walk with God. And this is what was found with Noah. First of all, Noah met with God. Now, for any of us that have just got a phone call from a friend and said, you know, let's go for a walk, usually you have to meet them somewhere, right, to start your walk. You can't just start walking where you are and they walk where they are, because you're not walking together. So somewhere along the line, you need to meet. And that's when the walk begins. Now, if we're going to meet, we can meet in at our house, we can meet down the street, at the coffee shop. The same thing with God. Where do you meet him? Is it in your devotion time, in your prayer time? Is it during Sunday school and worship? Is it in those quiet moments of meditation and reflection? Noah met with God. The second thing he did is he went with God. He said, okay, God, here I am. What do you want me to do? Let's go. Amos 3 says, can two people walk together without agreeing on the direction? No. Because what happens is we decide where we want to go, right? I want to go left. The other person wants to go right. Unless we agree on where we're going, we're not going to get anywhere together. And that's what Noah did. He was the person who took that risk to step out of the comfort zone, to stand out in the crowd, to meet God, and to go with him. The third thing that we learn is in Genesis 6, 11 through 22, which is the building of the ark, and God explaining to Noah the size of the ark and the dimensions of the ark, and then he started building the ark, and God told him why he was building the ark and what was going to happen, which led to the third thing, which is Noah had a powerful faith. And it was powerful not because of the strength of his faith, but because of the object of his faith, the strength of God. There's a story in Matthew 17 where Jesus and the disciples had gone up into the mountains. I believe it was for the Transfiguration. And while they were up there, the rest of the disciples waited down at the bottom of the hill. Some of you may remember this story. And a man comes up to the disciples, and he's very distraught and very upset. He recognizes that they are the disciples of Jesus. His son has been affected by possession of a demon, to the point where his son would often fall down and have convulsions, foam at the mouth, and sometimes he even would fall into a fire and things like that. And the father was so distraught that he went to the disciples and asked them to heal his son and cast the demon out. And the disciples, they tried, because they had certain, hey, we can do that. We've watched Jesus. We've seen him do it. We can do that. But they failed. Pretty soon Jesus comes down off the mountain and his disciples went to him and said, "Why couldn't we do it?" He replied to them, "Because you have so little faith. I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible to you. But first you have to have faith." The disciples' problem was that their faith was in their faith, not in the faith, not faith in God. They tried to do it by their own power of what they thought was faith. And again, sometimes we do that too. We try to do things to make ourselves look good or to make ourselves have control or power or whatever it may be. But the truth of the matter is, it's not going to work unless it is through God. Noah had faith in a God he had come to know because he walked daily with him. Now, there's no place in the Bible, there's a phrase that is used, and there's no place in the Bible where this phrase is called leap of faith, right? Nowhere in the Bible are you going to find that. Because faith is always described as a walk. It is always described as a journey. And because Noah walked with God, he was prepared for the next step. And that was obedience. He had such faith in God that he was willing to obey God with whatever it may be. And what's coming up was indeed something strange. But out of this, Noah's faith enabled him to see the invisible. When Noah built the ark, he was building it in the middle of the desert, dry land. There are many scholars who said it had never rained once in this part of the country up until the time that he had built the ark. You can wonder how Noah must have maybe originally thought, this is crazy, right? He's asked me to build an ark because a flood's going to come. We haven't seen rain. We've never seen rain. It reminded me of moving from Oregon to California and people, when we had a big rainstorm and people were panicking because there was so much rain, people putting chains on their tires. I mean, it was crazy, you know. I wasn't used to that. I was used to snow. I wasn't used to people panicking because we had a rainstorm. You can imagine what the neighbors must have thought and his friends. Here he was building an ark, saying that there's going to be a flood when they hadn't seen any rain. But Noah, well, he trained himself to recognize the voice of God, to see the invisible. You see, even though the Old Testament believer did not have the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit that we enjoy today, they still were able to see and recognize the voice of God. I should say recognize the voice of God. John 16:13 says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come." The Holy Spirit speaks through dreams and visions, it says in Acts 2:17. Pastor Rick Warren once said, "Every vision or dream from God comes in three parts, the what, the how, and the when." God sees the big picture that we don't see. Psalms 37 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this." Because of that, Noah's faith enabled him to experience the incredible. He built the ship in the middle of dry land. He was warned of something he could not see, but he acted on what he was told. And the response, the result, was that his family was saved. His act of faith drew a sharp line between the evil and the unbelieving world and the rightness of the believing world. And as a result, Noah became intimate with God. In Hebrews chapter 11, it says, "By faith Noah, when warned about things not seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith." He was able to experience the incredible. Can you imagine the look on his face when the animals began to enter the ark with his sons and their wives and his wife, and the rain started to come? I don't know about you, but I can picture him kind of standing up there and just putting his head back and letting the rain fall down on him with a smile on his face. And this led to Noah's faith, enabling him to invest in the eternal. I'm sure that Noah's sons were pretty impressed with their father's faith, because it was evident in the fact that they too believed. They too joined him in building the ark. They too joined him in collecting the animals. They too joined him in going into the ark and setting forth on their journey. You see, when you and I move from the comfort zone to the character zone, it not only makes a difference in us, but it makes a difference in the lives of others. Because the decisions we make today, as long as we make them with God, they not just affect our future here on earth, but it affects our eternal life. So you have to remember that the decisions you make now are not just affecting you, but they're affecting your family and they're affecting eternity. So, wrapping this up, what zone are you into today? Are you still walking in the comfort zone, getting comfortable, set, comfortable to the point that you just feel safe and secure? Or are you in the character zone, where it's a little bit frightful, but at the same time, it's a place where you're going to grow, and you're going to be able to look at things from a different perspective, and you're going to be able to listen to other people's perspectives and take it in and not confront them because it doesn't correlate with you, but to just listen. And it might make you a stronger person to see things from a different place. Where is God in your faith today? Where is faith in God today? Are you like Noah? Do you have a personal and practical and powerful faith that when God calls you to build an ark in the middle of the desert, you say, "Okay, how big do you want it?" Or are you like the disciples who think that you can do it simply because you've watched other people do it? Where are we at today? I hope that all of us, as we all struggle with the everyday things that's going on in our lives, I pray that we all can learn to accept the path that God has for us and to not deviate from it, but to also have a personal, practical, and powerful faith that helps us to do what we are called to do. And in fact, sometimes stepping out of our comfort zone into the character zone. I pray for that for all of us here today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just ask that you be with each one of us this morning and remind us, Lord, that we are not alone, that you walk this journey with us and that we are safe in your hands. We know that for sure because you've told us that. We know that when we laugh, you laugh. When we cry, you cry. We know that there are times when things are overwhelming to us, but even in those times, we know that you continue to guide us and direct us and walk with us. And in that, we are thankful. And so we pray for each one here today. We pray for those that are watching online this morning that you will help us to develop our own portrait of faith as we move from the comfort zone to the character zone. I pray that in all that we do and all that we can become. In your name, amen.